This is HPR episode 2608 entitled Battletech and is part of the series Tabletop Gaming. It is hosted by Tutorto and is about 18 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is Quick Introduction to Battletech Tabletop Game by Tutorto.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. I'm your host, Tuturto, and today's episode is about Battletech. Battletech is a board game, tabletop game from the 80s. You may know the franchise from the such games as the Battletech the computer game that was released just recently, and somewhat older series called MechWarrior. But this is the way it all started. It's a game about big, stompy robots fighting each other. As it's from the 80s, the game itself is pretty complex. There's tables upon tables upon tables, and there seems to be more rules than you can shake the stick at. The game is split in various books, and if you get all of the core rule books, there's over 2,000 pages. So, but luckily you don't need all of those, and I started the game with a free PDF leaflet that was really pocket-sized. The game is played on a hex map with miniatures, but only the hex map is important. You don't have to have a fancy miniatures. You can play it with a counters or even bottle caps or basically anything that fits in the hex and can tell you what direction it is looking at. The game has a rich lore. It's over 30 years old. It has a backstory that has been evolving all the time, and it still keeps going. So there's actually a continuous story behind everything. And as I said, it's about big stompy robots, while they are the focus, there's also all kinds of vehicles, ships, fighters, dropships, civilian and military things. And infantry and proto mechs, those are smaller mechs, and battle armors that are just a powered suits of armor. And what I like the game is that everything is built by the same rules. There's no gimmicky super units. There's a fairly complex set of rules that actually come in a different book if you want to have those that tell you how to build units. It's a component-based system, so you take a chassis, and then you stuff in a motor and arm and weapons and sensors and life support and whatnot you need. And that means that while it's possible to build really good units, it's possible to build really bad units. All units are covered with the same rules, so there isn't a situation where somebody comes with a super unit saying that okay, this is my favorite unit and that's why it's super good and that's why it has these stats. There's a reason behind the stats, and that reason behind the stats all for each unit is the same. It's pretty slow gameplay-wise, and there's a lot of records keeping. Like I said, there's tons of tables, sometimes there comes a special cases when you don't come up that often, and you have to start leafing through the booklet and finding that, okay, this rule applies here, and this rule applies here, and this rule applies here. The rules in the main core book, Total Warfare, are written really well. There isn't really that much of confusion there. They are very well laid out. They have, there's always good examples in the books. There's gorgeous art in the book, and some backstories there too. But mistakes do have happened, so there's a errata online that fixes different kind of mistakes that have been discovered between different editions of the crew books. Like I said, there's a lot of record keeping, basically, for example, for every mech, those big stop robots, 12 meter tall, up to 1,000 tons. For each mech, there's a one A4 paper. So there's a one A4 paper for each of those. Usually in the game that we played, we had a from 2 to 6 on the sides. But I really loved how complex the game can be and how cool moments they can be. Like in one game, I had a mech that was running full speed on a pavement and made a tight turn. And at that point, the pilot who's guiding the robot inside didn't manage to keep the mech upright, so it slipped, fall down, took damage. And because it was moving so fast, it started skidding on the pavement, grinding the metal against the pavement, getting more damage, hit into a small building, went through from one wall, the building collapsed on top of the neck, and the neck continued through the another wall and ended up on the other side of the now ruined building. The poor mech was pretty damaged after that. And most of the units, well, not most, some of the units, but the mechs basically have to deal with the heat management. That's another aspect that I find really interesting. The mechs are usually powered with the fusion reactors in the game. It is possible to have all kinds of engines in them, but fusion reactors are the most common ones. And they have lots of weapons and other equipment, and whenever the player is using that stuff, it produces heat. And the mech has some heat sinks that dissipate that heat, but sooner or later the heat starts building up, and the player has to keep track of that. They actually have to keep track of how much they are producing heat, how much they're dissipating that, how much it's building up over time. And in the beginning, the effects of the heat are small, they don't affect much, then they start slowing you down, make aiming harder, and as the heat keep rising, the more adverse effects starts coming up. Your mech might automatically shut down to prevent more damage, or if you are carrying ammunition, that might explode, making a huge mess of your mech, usually ending up in the destruction of your mech. There's some ways of getting around that, but that takes a space and weight that you don't always have. And the game is pretty sandboxy. There isn't while the core book has a couple of scenarios as examples that this is how you can play the game, it's nothing forces you to play it that way. It is possible to play one-on-one, like one player against another player, or four player, two versus two, or four player, four versus each other, or a big game, like biggest games we have had. I think we had like 5 or 6 players on a side, at least. And I wasn't playing in that, I was just a refereeing that. And it's possible to play players versus game master. So the pretty much the imagination sets the limits here. And nothing forces you to play fighting. If you rather have some sort of exploration type of game, that is possible. Those aren't that common though, but the next can have all kinds of interesting equipment like chainsaws or combines for if you want to run a combine harvester, spot welders, food guns if you want to have a fire brigade medicine, stuff like that. There's actually a completely separate class called industrial mechs. Battle mechs are these stormy robots shooting at each other, and industrial mechs are these mechs that are used in the, well, they are basically just extension of the construction vehicles, like next logical step or illogical in some cases. But who would want to have a big robot helping you lifting stuff when you are constructing a building, for example? And it's fun. There's plenty of expansions for the game. The core rulebook is more than enough. It has, like I said, it has the robots, it has the vehicles and like wheeled and tracked, and it has ships and like blue weather ships, fighters that fly in the air and in the space, drop ships that are used to transport things from the orbit into the space. I mean, from the plane, from the planet to the orbit, and from the orbit through the space. And civilian and military stuff. There's all kinds of infantry, protomechs, smaller mechs, and battle armors. And if you want to have even more, there's extension books that I might talk later. They bring up stuff like battleships and jump ships that are used to travel between stars, and the trains. In one game we played, players had stolen an armored train that was laden with gold and art, and we are escaping with that through the desert. So they have the train, and then they have a couple mechs that are escorting that, and they are being chased by the hovercrafts, and I think there were some light mechs and some wheeled vehicles. So they are just zipping through the desert, and at one point they had a really couple kilometer long bridge over a canyon, and it was a natural choke point because nobody was going to go around that or down the canyon and back up, so they had to come over the tracks. And in the end they had a dropship waiting where they wanted to stop, and they had to actually plan in advance because it's a big train, heavy train, it doesn't stop in a short distance, though. So they actually had to think ahead and start slowing down early enough so that they could stop where they wanted to stop. They managed to escape in that game. And while it's fun to play a pickup games or one-off games, where the game really shines is when you start playing a campaign. There's a campaign books that you can purchase. There's some campaign stuff online, or you can write your own campaign. You can you are pretty free to choose what to do. These rules don't come with the core rule book, the Total Warfare, the later extension, or there's some mercenary related books that are somewhat older, but they talk about all the stuff that goes outside of the battlefield. Like if you're running a mercenary company, you have to deal with the logistics, accounting, maintenance, budgeting, human resources, healthcare, and stuff like that. We were running one game for one summer, I think, but it got pretty complicated pretty soon, and we ended up discarding that game. But players actually had to think when to hire people to take care of the maintenance, and when the time frame was tight, what to fix and what to leave for the next day, and it was fun. And then there's a really long backstory in the game. It actually starts from the modern time. They wrote how they came up with interstellar travel, how they started colonizing galaxy, and It's pretty interesting, and if you like that stuff, quite a bit of that is available online, and then there's again more extension books that deal with that. Some are for a specific era, and some are for specific factions or units, and they have stuff like they talk about insignia and customs and history and stuff, things like that, what next they prefer and what kind of industry that area has and so on. While the game is about big stompy robots, it tries to be somewhat realistic, like the faster than light travel is possible only with the special ships, and those ships are extremely expensive and extremely rare. But other than that, it's sort of kind of plausible. Like they try to come up with different kind of reasons why things are like they are. One notable thing is that while they have been colonizing the galaxy, they haven't really encountered any intelligent life forms. The humans are alone in the space. They have encountered some life forms, but those aren't really that intelligent. And factions are like there isn't clear cut that these are good guys, these are bad guys. It's pretty much everybody are just trying to survive and doing what they think is best for themselves. There's alliances and broken alliances and things like that. If you are into such a thing, it's pretty interesting. And what else? Lost my thought here. Right, about the accuracy or realism. There's of course are cases where the realism doesn't really work. Like, for example, Atlas, one of those big 100-ton mechs, is when you do the math, it's actually so light that if it had to step on water, it would just float on the surface of the water. It wouldn't sink in. And later on, if you have at some point the battleships, I think, when you start building bigger and bigger battleships, at some point the efficiency of the motors sort of flips and they start producing more energy than they are consuming. And there's a funny little cases like that here and there, but most of the time they are not really noticeable, and it's a game anyway. It's a game about big robots, so while it's nice to have some sort of semblance of realism, you have to remember that these things don't really exist, so there has to be some leeway there. And because it's the child of the 80s, the future they are talking about in the game is the future of the 80s. Like the computers are big and bulky and they have funny devices, and like that's part of the charm for me. But if you're interested in a tabletop game where you can duke out with the big robots, this might be a fun to look at. Just don't get all the core rule books in one go, because that would be pretty expensive, and you don't really need all of those. The Total Warfare, the first one, is enough to get you started and keep you playing for a long time. But I do recognize that when, at least for me, it was that when I got the first book, then it was okay, this is really cool, so I want that another book because it has some extra stuff. I might do an episode about those books later on. But that's about it. That's a quick introduction to the BattleTech. If you have any questions or comments, please hit me with an email, or even better, record your own episode. I would totally love to hear about your experiences in the BattleTech if you have played the game. Okay, catch you later.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.